welcome to We the People. Sexual violence and sexual abuse has finally become at the center stage of both public and political debate. But what about sexual violence and sexual abuse that takes place within the ambit of a marriage? India continues to not recognize marital rape, despite the staggering statistics that point to a grim reality. The most recent study by the Rice Institute, based in the United States of America, found that the number of Indian women sexually assaulted by their husbands is 40 times the number of women who suffer such violence from others. According to another study by the United Nations, more than two-thirds of married women in India between the ages of 15 to 49 have been beaten or forced to provide sex. In 2011, the International Men and Gender Equality Survey revealed that one in five men said they had forced their wives or their partners to have sex. And another study said that 75% of Indian men expect their partners to agree to sex. Despite this, in the aftermath of the December 16th gang rape 2 years ago, our parliament decided that it was not time for India to recognize marital rape. In fact, the chairman of the parliamentary standing committee today, Union Minister Venkaiah Naidu, said that it would disturb the family structure in a way that was far too dangerous to risk. This year, well-known human rights lawyer Colin Gonzalez actually approached the courts and asked for the judiciary to intervene. But the judiciary said that they would not consider an individual petition and his group must bring in a larger public interest litigation that would look at a larger number of women instead of just one individual case. But we start We the People today with the one woman who actually did go to court and said, it is my right to find justice if my husband has raped me. We are hiding her identity, of course, because that is how she would prefer it. Why don't you first tell us why you decided to take this battle to court? Are you separated now? Are you divorced now?
We have filed the case. It's still going on. I was a Muslim. I changed my religion for my husband because he was a Haryanvi Brahmin. So going against my family and everything, I did whatever I could do best to save the marriage and be a part of the family. But nonetheless, I was never accepted by them. The only terms that I heard from them was I was an untouchable. I was not allowed to be a part of the kitchen. I was always traumatized mentally that I'm not a good-looking female. I have not brought anything to the house.
And you were an untouchable because you were Muslim previously?
Yeah. Though I changed my religion and I accepted Hinduism. Even after that, you know, that night, I still remember. Every night post the wedding was like a nightmare for me. I was a girl who believed in pink. So I thought marriage, a husband, means like I would live a happy life. But things turned out to be different.
And what did you find would happen in the sexual relations between you and the man you were married to?
He used to get very hostile on me. I was never allowed to say, you know, like just to say yes, I'm okay on that as well.
If even you said no to sex, he would force you?
He would never even ask my permission. So even if I'm well, I'm unwell, he used to forcefully, you know, do all these abuses on me.
When you say force, what do you mean?
He used to beat me up. He used to put pillow on my face. He used to, insert artificial organs, I mean, bodies.
He used to insert artificial objects?
Yeah, and then on call.
I'm sorry, I know it's painful, but.
Like anal. He used to do like unnaturally. Definitely, I was at some point of time, I was in such a condition that I was not even able to walk. I mean, and then after, like it went not only once, twice, like five times in a night. He used to slap me, abuse me, hold me by my hair, push me to the floor. And that night was like a nightmare for me because, I mean, he said that, I always used to tell him that I loved you, I married you, I did everything. I went against my family to be with you, to be a part of your family. Why can't you love me? Like, why can't you be a husband for me? He was so agitated that day, that night, that, you know, like he dragged me from my bed. He hit me 18 times on my head with a box, wooden box, and a torchlight. And then he inserted a torchlight on my vagina. Probably he knew that I missed my regular period, so I thought I might be expecting. So he thought that, you know, like he told me that I'm gonna kill you and your baby, even if there is a baby inside. My family is not from here, so somehow my mom was here. But I never told my mom all this story because it was my decision to go and be with this man. I used to tell them at times that, mom, I know I'm like not happy. But the only thing they told me was try to adjust. You have already taken a decision, so try to adjust.
How many years did you, or how much time did you have to suffer this?
1 year.
And then you walked out.
I had to call my mom. So the moment I was in a semi-conscious state, so I was bleeding, and bleeding vaginally and bleeding, like he cut my wrist also. He wanted to kill me. He is like, I'm done with you. I can't take you anymore. And then he locked me, and my mom came, and after seeing my mom, you know, he thought that she gonna do some action. She gonna, because she told me if my daughter dies, I'm gonna call police. Yeah. So he locked both of us and he ran away.
Now tell me something. I mean, it's so horrible to hear that I can't imagine what it's like to live it. But when you go to court, because your petition is the one that went to court, and the court said, no, we can't entertain an individual case, make this a larger petition if you have to. But in this country, marital rape is not recognized. And that must be hugely disappointing for somebody like you who wants at least justice.
What I have gone through, I cannot express you. The whole incident has pushed me into depression. I am consulting psychiatrist. I have lost faith in all kind of relationships.
I do want to take this now straight to our politicians on the panel. Sandeep, I'll start with you. I start with you because you were a member of the Parliamentary Standing Committee that decided collectively, though there were individual notes of dissent, that we could not recognize marital rape by law, that it would erode the family as we knew it. My question would be, what is the point of preserving a family within which violence and sexual abuse of the kind that we have just heard in the most horrific details is permitted and almost sanctioned by law? Is marriage to be a license to rape?
Let me be very clear. I don't think there's any defense of the fact that we did not include this in the law. It's just that at that time, while some of us were saying that this is a provision that we must consider seriously, and in fact, a couple of our members were extremely forceful and very eloquent in the way they argued for it. There was a general consensus in that entire committee, unfortunately, which kept saying that the institution of marriage will be threatened. I'd also say I'm not going into the defense of our committee, but actually what was also happening at that time, if you remember, was that there was tremendous pressure on the committee to come out with a report.
Yes.
Because of what had happened.
Yes.
And therefore we were actually battling and fighting against time. To the defense of the people in that committee, I would say perhaps we didn't get time. But I would say that there was a general sense.
But was it really about time, or was it also about a mindset?
And there was a problem about the mindset.
Because the chairman of your committee, who's today Union Minister Venkaiah Naidu, did say, and he said it on behalf of the committee, that the overwhelming majority opinion on the standing committee was that this would disturb the institution of marriage.
Correct.
And my point is this marriage worth preserving?
No.
So do you feel that with the benefit of hindsight that you all made
not
mistake?
Not even benefit of hindsight, even at that time, there were people in the committee who wanted this part to be brought in.
What did you feel at the time?
It's very clear. Even then I felt that it should be part of it. Even now I feel it should be part of it. See, for example, I remember that while speaking in that committee informally, you know, we put across a point and I said it's very odd for me that, you know, we accept domestic abuse.
Yeah.
So, you know, if I slap my wife, I will be arrested.
Yes.
If I just go ahead and rape her, I won't be.
Yes.
I mean, that I find very funny.
So you're saying Parliament made a mistake?
No, I won't say Parliament made a mistake. I think Parliament at that time wasn't ready.
Aman Sinha, is it that marriage has to be preserved at any cost, even if it means detriment to your sense of self, which is the only thing worth living for?
No, Barkha, I agree with you. Marital rape is a serious and a sensitive issue. Such atrocities cannot be tolerated in any civilized society. And in fact, I would like to point out that our criminal jurisprudence, even in the present structure as
yes.
it exists today, marital rape constitutes a criminal offense.
No, only if the woman is below 50, under several provisions of IPC.
Just allow me to complete for a moment.
No, but I must clarify this. In my understanding of the law, you can correct me if I'm wrong, it's only if the woman is below 15 or if she is legally separated from her husband. The Hindu Marriage Act actually talks about it being one of the conjugal duties of a woman to provide sex to her husband.
No, what you're talking about is an exemption under section 375.
Yes.
That is there.
Yes.
But what the point that I'm making is, under several other provisions of IPC, there is a remedy which has been provided, whether it is 398A, 498A, several other sections of IPC.
Can I discuss the principle of it with you? Are you saying that there is legal redressal available for marital rape already?
There is a remedy provided under the Indian Penal Code, and the offenders could be punished. And under 498A, 338, even under the Domestic Violence Act.
Do you believe the committee on which Sandeep Dixit was a member, headed by Venkaiah Naidu, and Parliament in general, why only blame the Parliamentary Standing Committee? It's not as if other lawmakers sprang to it. Do you believe Parliament made a mistake?
As I said, you know, this is something which is
a
very
position,
sensitive issue.
If you believe
issue.
It should not be criminalized,
as far as,
as
far as Parliament and government is concerned, if there is a larger, wider consensus on this issue, the government is willing to go ahead in that direction.
And you feel we're not at that point yet?
No, let us debate, let us evolve and formulate a view on this.
Sandeep, quickly add to that, and then I want to open it up to the lawyers.
First, I think you should not exonerate anybody, any one of us in the committee. A committee is a combined report. Most of the people who came as witnesses to the committee, especially the officers from the Government of India, according to me, were dangerously patriarchal, which is people from Home Ministry and Law, and I think their attitude was something I was personally more shocked by than perhaps what the committees and others did.
Now, I want to get in Fatima Qureshi. We also have Kamlesh Mishra. Both of you are actually representing the lady whose account we just heard. I'm deliberately, of course, not taking her name. Fatima, the court sent you back. The courts, in a said, when you petitioned on her behalf, said, withdraw your petition, we cannot entertain individual cases. Why was the court not prepared to entertain this petition on marital rape?
Firstly, I'd like to clarify 498A.
Yes.
It's only cruelty which is criminalized.
Yes.
So you can rape a woman with the cruelty associated with the rape. Only that part of it is criminalized and not the rape itself.
Okay, so why did the court... This, if you hear her speak, I mean, she scripts her own petition in a sense. Nothing more is needed. You hear her and you feel like marital rape must be criminalized.
It gives you jitters.
It gives you jitters.
Yes. And
why did the court send you all back?
In India, I think there's not enough data on marital rape.
How can there be data if you're not allowed to report marital rape? How will it ever be computed in an empirical way, in a way?
And there's also another thing that as women, we are internalized to accept violence, because there has been a survey which stated that men, like counterparts, like husband wife, both were questioned, and the husband said, yes, I have committed violence on my wife, but the wife denied it. For the fact, probably the wife was internalized thinking that it's not violence, it's something that I have to accept.
Can I ask you to speak to that? You said for a long time you kept telling your husband, why can't you just love me? Was it really difficult for you? That's one of the things that has often stopped women even in speaking out about domestic violence, that their first instinct is to try and save the relationship.
Yes, I tried. I would be honest. Definitely it was a love come arranged marriage, so I thought, you know, maybe thing changes after a certain point of time. But it kept on deteriorating all the more.
And Sanjay Srivastav, just like it's not Congress versus BJP and it's Parliament as a whole, somehow Parliament waits for the judiciary to take shield behind. In the same way, it's probably not men versus women, because a number of women are socialized to think in exactly the same way, that the premium on marriage in this society is so darn high.
It is a legal issue, but it's also not just a legal issue. And we make a mistake by thinking that the laws will solve our problems, because as he says, it is a larger context of attitudes amongst, say, the bureaucracy and the judiciary.
Yeah.
And the other thing is that we continue to think that certain issues are private issues. Domestic violence, for a long time, we did nothing about it. We thought it's within the family, right? It should be police who shouldn't handle it, the family should handle it. Eventually, there was realization, these are not private issues. What more evidence do we need than this young woman saying this? These are not private issues.
Let me ask Aman and Sandeep that, in fact. What is it that prevents us from joining the 100-plus countries in the world, including countries like Turkey and Malaysia, to criminalize and recognize marital rape?
First of all, let me clarify that, you know, such kind of marital rape and this account, that, you know, terrible account, this is clearly a criminal offence under our Indian Penal Code, even in
but
the
But it won't be recognized as rape, Aman.
And you know, it amounts to cruelty, You are right, under 375 that exemption is there. And, you know, the committee which opined, where Mr. Sandeep Dixit was a member,
yeah,
they opined that, you know, our family and value systems, our, you know, traditional institution of marriage has been working pretty well. And we'll have to assess what is going to be the impact, you know, of such a change of law on our, you know, family system, on
the
institution of marriage.
But, you know, the same could have been said, so Sandeep, the same
Therefore, this is a view, yes, which emerged out of the standing committee
where it's an all-party
Mr. Sandeep
view.
Dixit was a member.
I agree, I'm not
BJP
making it a Congress-BJP issue.
Concerned, if we are able to evolve a consensus socially and politically also, the government is willing to move ahead. There is no any difficulty at all.
This is a very interesting point, Sandeep. To evolve a consensus, do we need to evolve a consensus on issues, or does the law have to be ahead of social prejudice?
When we spoke to especially people in the committee, you know, one of the you know, the fears that actually comes from,
yeah,
is our constant evidence that we get from you know, abuse of the Dowry Act. I don't think the committee was as orthodox or as backward looking as the people who are telling us to be backward looking. I don't think it's an issue of consensus anymore. I think it's an issue of just somebody taking the next step. And
why don't you take the next step, Sandeep ji? You must evolve a consensus within your own party.
I don't think
instead of, you know, just opining, it's no good.
Actually, no party has a structure.
I don't think it's a party.
I'm not making a party.
But
at the same time, individually, you come and say something else. Your party takes a different view entirely. So this is also not something.
I don't think the Congress has a different view to this.
No, the point is nobody talks about these things. The one time that there was an opportunity for Parliament, it rejected Justice Jaiswarma's recommendations.
Rekha ji, I'll just say, I don't think we in the committee were ever directed by any person either within the government or in the party to tell us what stand we should take on marital rape. So
you speak about needing more time. If I'm not wrong, and let me get Menaka Goswami in. If I'm not wrong, Law Commission in 2000...
Yes.
As far back as 2000 also said recognize marital rape. We're in 2015, we haven't moved.
Absolutely.
We haven't moved one inch. But speak to Sandeep's point that it's a law that will be misused. And is there a genuine fear to this? Because if you see a recent example in Karnataka, where you actually have a politician's son being booked for rape, because a woman says he promised to marry me and he didn't.
Sure.
I have to say, as a feminist who feels very strongly about sexual violence, to me this was a trivialization of rape.
I think the two bodies that have probably had the opportunity to be most thoughtful,
yes,
on any issue, right? And in this case, the Law Commission and the Verma Committee, both came out strongly in favor of marital rape as an offense,
yeah,
right? So this also speaks to my friend's point on the lack of evidence, because that's certainly true,
yeah,
that, you know, as a youngish country, we're putting together studies of criminology, yeah, and so on and so forth, right? So I think we do need to take our cues from bodies that have actually had a chance to consider the jurisprudence, consider empirical evidence, and are kind of most qualified, yeah, right? Secondly, look, you know, as a lawyer, I can safely say that many laws, every law has
is
the potential to be abused.
Yeah.
Theft,
yeah,
defamation, anti-defection, since,
yeah,
we've got parliament, you know, parliamentarians and politicians in the House. You know, tell me a single law that does not have the potential of being abused.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But the point is this. I expect more from our politicians. I expect more from our courts for this reason. I cannot fathom this kind of superficial assessment by the apex court, which says that, no, we're not going to hear an individual's challenge to a law.
Yeah.
We want a public interest litigation.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I disagree. The most conventional role of a court is for an individual to test a law saying that my rights are violated.
Yeah, absolutely.
This is the most conventional.
Absolutely. You know? And just to put this to the audience before we get Deepika in, those of you who think marital rape should be recognized by law as a crime, please raise your hands. Those of you who think that marital rape, I'm coming to you, Manoj, hang on.
This is humiliating because...
Why is it humiliating?
Because you have not taken the other side of the witness.
I will.
Before that, you are making a viewpoint over here.
No, hang on.
Let the other side be
hang
also
on.
Let the people...
Please keep your hands up if you think marital rape should be criminalized. And now we will hear from the other side. And Manoj, there is no humiliation in asking people for their views. Just like we will...
On.
1 minute. Just like we will ask you for your view as well. Deepika Bhardwaj, filmmaker and social activist, you have long been arguing what Manoj is getting so agitated about, because he believes he was a victim of the misuse of this law, and we will also hear his story. You've been making the same point often. These,
yeah,
laws are being misused. Menaka says every law can be misused.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean it shouldn't exist.
I wish to ask everyone sitting over here, tell me a law in which you have
allegedly done a crime and your entire family is accused of it, tell me a law in which 25 lakh people have been arrested, out of which 5 lakh are women.
Are you talking about the dowry law?
I'm talking about 498. Okay. There's no law that has been abused like
this. I will get Meneka to respond to this, but exactly. Give your opinion on criminalizing marital rape.
So just a month ago, an ACP was accused of rape by his daughter-in-law. The daughter-in-law's father, brothers and everybody else was accused of rape by ACP's wife. I'm talking about a death of a man in Jalandhar because his daughter-in-law accused him of molestation, and within 13 days of the accusation being made, he hanged himself. We are talking about a case which has come just few days ago of two young men from, one was from Amity, who were accused of a gang rape. And I'm telling you, Barkha, there was no medical evidence. The call records proved something that had happened entirely differently. So when we have a system which does not take evidence into record, where you know all the evidences are manipulated the way you want, when we have a system wherein you depend on the trial to prove a person innocent, until then he is
okay. Menika and I want Kamlesh both to respond to this. The argument about the misuse, and Deepika, you know your accounts are very moving, but there's also somebody who had a torch inserted into her private path because she refused to have sex.
That account, Barkha, because we have never had accounts from
men who have been completely tortured. We are just going to hear from Manoj.
We do not have a domestic violence act that recognizes abuse in men.
Okay, let the other speak.
So look, what you're describing here. Right, what you're describing, and this is valid, and I hear you, and obviously you've gone through something very difficult from the other side, and you're educating us. The flaws you highlight are not about the offense or the recognition by the law of an offense. The flaws you highlight are about the investigatorial system and police culture in police stations.
Yeah.
But let's talk about addressing laws that can address the what we are asking about. We have 498A, it recognizes physical cruelty of any kind, mental cruelty.
Quickly, and then I want to move on to the others.
With all rape law, because we've got 498A,
exactly,
or we've got sexual assault.
Exactly.
You know, we don't have to have them. We can have previous
hurt. I think Aman is
being disingenuous.
The institution of marriage also has to be acknowledged and recognized.
What is this marriage that is worth reconciling within if there is violence, abuse, dowry, inequality? I mean, I would rather be single for the rest of my life than be in a marriage like that.
Surely I entirely agree with you, Barkha. Can I make just one statement? I wanted to say that, you know, such marital rape is already a criminal offence. So we need not go into debate whether it should be criminalized or not. It is already criminalized. As far as institution of marriage and, you know, our family values are concerned, you know, the evidence reflects that we have much stronger values than other Western countries. So we must give a chance to encourage our family values, encourage our institution of marriage. There is no difficulty with that, and it's not a matter to laugh about.
It's not a matter to laugh about.
It's a completely laughable thing you're saying.
Okay, fine. Nobody else is laughing about
it. Completely laughable.
Sanjay, why is it laughable?
Listen, this is the kind of conversation you have in a train. People say, the West has so many divorces.
It's not amateurish. Everyone has a right to their opinion. Sanjay, 1 minute, Manoj. Sanjay,
it is not a serious way of addressing an issue where we say
talking
that
about
we have far
less
non-existent
please
country.
Let him speak.
We have far more domestic violence, and we refuse to address it. There's no point saying
what
we are a far superior civilization.
What is the evidence that you have?
Look at it. Are you aware of sociological, anthropological evidence? You're clearly not. I can give you a whole library full of evidence.
Sir, if we organize violence,
it is not. I am coming from certain.
The official statistic is that more than 90% of women in India are abused by somebody they know. This is the official statistics according to the Crime Bureau. Now, Kamlesh, and then we'll hear Manoj's story.
More or less all over the world.
498A, I would like to say that the crime committed on this woman is same what was committed on December 16th. The only part which was not there was a gang rape. The only reason the other people are in jail and we are demanding that they should be hanged, and the other person in this crime is roaming around freely, is because the crime was committed by a husband.
Yeah.
This woman goes to the crime against women's cell in the police station, and every policeman, a police woman tells her that this happens in marriage. This is where it goes wrong.
Manoj, you're getting very agitated. You're saying we're not giving the other side a voice. We called you here because we are interested in hearing the other side. What is your story? You believe you were falsely accused of sexual violence and rape.
Ma'am, before answering to the question, let me say, like, you are coming to the point, but after making a viewpoint, if you are coming to the point, then there is no point.
No, this is my view. First thing, I'm declaring it openly that even if, that I believe you're the exception, not the norm. That doesn't mean you don't have a right in the story, but I'm not going to hide my opinion on this. This is my opinion. I believe marital rape should be criminalized. I would be a disingenuous television anchor if I hid my opinion. I am openly coming to this show with my prejudice on my sleeve. But please, let's hear your story.
Okay. You said that crime is, my case is exceptional. So you mean to say 90% is exceptional?
How do you know 90%?
Dowry cases, 90%
are false. Can you tell me what happened to you?
Supreme Court has said.
Can you tell me what happened?
What is the point telling when you have no ears? I was accused of false cases. No cell. Even I wrote it to the National Commission of Women. They refused to take. I had lost my job for 3 years. As a chief officer in Merchant Navy, I have to lose job, be jobless at home, sitting at home. No, not even a single person, not even a single platform, not even a single political party, not even a single judicial police, anywhere named, nowhere I can get justice. All system corrupt. Everybody accusing me, you are the culprit, you are the culprit. Today we are discussing a case wherein decision has not yet come up. In my case, decision has come up, but nobody ever bothered that what should be the
status. Okay, what is the status of your case now?
I won the case.
And did you get?
And I was, and you're talking about marital law when there was no marital law, and I was indicted for forcefully used to entertain others sexually. These were the words used by my wife, and I'm putting it in front of everybody. Forcefully used to entertain others sexually, and that too it was my love marriage. I have to pursue LLB. I started LLB. It was thankfully good for me that I was in such a profession that they took me back again.
So
what you are talking about is
one-sided story. 1 minute.
But
do you believe that marital rape should be recognized by law?
So you will be putting CCTVs in every camera, every homes, every matrimonial
house? Isn't that the argument even on domestic violence and dowry? Ki kaise pata lagega?
Statistics, what they are saying, you should talk about those statistics, no? Why we are hiding? NCRB data is saying more than twice married men are committing suicide. You never hear that story. Just in recent state.
Okay, let Kamlesh respond to what we've heard. Now this is also a reality in the discourse that we must be able to engage with honestly, Kamlesh.
Certainly, yes. And well, to that extent, the courts have also responded to that. And we recently had Arnesh Kumar judgment wherein the Supreme Court said that yes, there has been some abuse, but that is no reason for there not being a law.
Yeah.
That is no reason for.
76% are false cases.
Okay,
of rape.
No, this
after
also.
Nirbhaya Kand. Where?
How do we know they're
go?
False? How do we know they're
media
false?
Media is telling now. Times of India.
It was a statistic by Delhi Commission for Women also. So let's forget about men's organization. Delhi Commission for Women said out of all the cases filed between 2013 and 2014, 53%.
Fatima, do you want to come in there and then Shailaja and Roma? Okay, now please let the others who haven't spoken speak.
I will not say that there is no frivolous litigation. You cannot do away with the law only because it's going to be misused.
Let me bring in Shailaja Chandra here, as somebody who has been an administrator. How can we not have a law just because that law could be manipulated and misused? The same too should apply to dowry. We shouldn't have a dowry law.
See, Barkha, putting this, removing this exception will be the easiest thing to be done. It can be done. Mm. Parliament, if it makes up its mind, it can be done within one session.
Yeah. Yes.
What I want to put before you is something different. The reason why we are in this position, and I salute this girl that she comes to your program and gives us the gory details of what happened to her, it will shake the public psyche, no doubt.
Yeah.
But if because of this program, this becomes the prime thing that we want to get after at the cost of something far more important, I think we would have missed the wood for the
trees. You're saying it's not the most important issue?
It is extremely important, but nowhere compared to ownership of property, land, inheritance, ancestral property for which laws exist. But how dare you marry off your daughter, pay her, give her some dowry, have a fancy 5-star wedding and get rid of her?
Correct.
She has under the law today
inheritance
rights. You debar that.
Why is it either or?
Yeah.
Why?
No. I'm saying that those things are far more important because they go back to patriarchy.
But the two are connected, Shailaja.
Yeah.
They're not mutually exclusive.
Yeah.
The two are connected.
Yes,
and indeed.
So please hear me out. Let me not be seen as a person who has taken a stand. Because I feel that this exception can come, it should come. Please don't misunderstand me.
Mm.
What I'm trying to say is, It is not the focus of your program today, but it goes back to what parliamentarians
I think the reason we're also speaking about it is that we speak so much about sexual violence without speaking about it taking place within a relationship.
Are the people in this room, all the lawyers, all the people who are representing, willing to petition individual members of parliament? Tell them, are you willing to support it? Confront them with this face to face. They will all say yes. They will not be able to say no. It is only when they sit in a group that all these ideas and values come. But having said that, I would say it is not the most important issue.
Menaka and Kamlesh, do you agree? It's not the most important issue?
No, you see, you know, our freedoms are interconnected. Our rights are interconnected. You know, I can't have a right to say what I want on Twitter and not have a right to my body. I'm sorry, it doesn't quite work like that.
Yeah, it is.
So, you know, just one last thing.
Yeah.
Look, I mean, you have to frame this in the context of consent, personhood, bodily integrity, a constitution. That is how we have to think of each citizen in this country.
Okay, it cannot be. I want to take it back to the politician, but Sanjay and Roma quickly.
Look, I'm in agreement with Shailesh, but what I want to add is that it is a fact of a lack of rights for women which also leads to marital rape.
Absolutely.
So they are completely connected. They cannot be seen
among
as
the things that happens.
But it cannot be seen as one being more important.
Yes.
It's because women do not have the right, do not get the property that they should have. Is because we think
or
of women as property.
Or they become over dependent on the institution of marriage
because
there are no economic rights. So
is
that much tougher to work out?
This will stop.
Precisely.
I'm not sure of that. Because is one of the reasons you stayed economic, or is it emotional?
It's emotional.
Emotional?
See, I also wanted the marriage to sustain. But when things were out of my hand and I couldn't tolerate it anymore, then because there were pressure from my family as well, they said that, you know, marriage means you need to adjust. That's what's normal norms, social norms are.
So what I want to say is that it's not only about economic independence, though that is a very important...
I did not say that. Please don't just conclude what I've said.
No, I'm not concluding. I'm saying you raised the point about property
physical
rights.
Physical integrity is one thing. Ownership, civil code, all these things matter.
Dr. Roma Kumar, as a clinical psychologist, you must see the problems that take place in a bedroom coming to you quite often.
Very often.
Except that I would not call them problems that take place in a bedroom. I do not understand, as Kamlesh said, why rape becomes different if it takes place in a bus and if it takes place in a room.
Yeah, I here would like to, you know, be with her when she says, I want to know what exactly marital rape is, where, what do you think the woman is saying that this is marital rape?
You just heard it.
Yeah.
You're
no,
beaten
no, I
for,
heard
you're
that.
Beaten for saying no
that.
To sex.
I heard
you're,
that.
You
but
have
a
torches
lot of,
inserted in your private parts.
A lot of women are not even aware what marital rape is all about, what sexuality is all about. When you get into a marriage, they don't understand what intimacy is all about, why a problem is happening in the sexual life, and why there are other areas also which are involved. It's not just sex which is a problem. In a marriage, when sexuality gets affected, there are other areas also, as
but
in your relationship.
Even if you do not understand sexuality, it doesn't entitle somebody to beat you up for saying
I agree
sex.
With you. I agree with you. But here I would say the couple needs to go in for couple counseling even
why?
Before.
Why?
The first act cannot be just a marital rape. The first act has to be there is something
so
else.
So would you
which is
would
happening.
You extend the same to domestic violence? If the first time your husband hits you, it's okay. Do bari hone do, teen bar hone do, char bar hone do.
Maine ye kaha hi nahi. Maine kaha thappad marne se pehle kuch aur hota hai. Aapki jo companionship hai, there is a little problem in your relationship.
Reciprocal violence, which is not recognized.
Okay, yeah. Understand power.
Yeah.
And
so
it's
there
about
is. But can I just
no
make one
point? One minute.
So it's both ways. It's not just a man. Here, it's a woman also who's trying to use the same power on the man.
I'm now taking questions, but I'll allow Sanjay a quick rebuttal.
We are not living in a society where men and women are equal. And people have said we have not heard the men's point of view. For about past few thousand years,
all we've heard is the men's point of view. I agree. We'll take a question here, then Sandeep and Amelia.
I sympathize with the gentleman there.
No, you please wait. I will come back to you.
Okay, I don't have a question here. I just want to. Everybody's been saying what constitutes rape. The basic definition of rape is unlawful sexual intercourse and any other sexual penetration of the vagina, anus, or mouth of another person with or without force by a sexual organ, other body part or foreign object without the consent of the victim.
Yeah.
So you add marital before this terminology, you add child, rape simply means forced sex. We've all, 2013 with that rape, it just shook us completely. We all didn't know what hit us. I monitor every day how many rapes happen. I recently put up something which was between 13th December 2013 and November 16, 2014, and I pulled out 2,600 cases that were reported. Police do not report or do not take down, men go. Violence happens everywhere. But the maximum number of cases are not within the marriage, because marital rape is not seen.
Can I come back here and just understand what you mean by consensus? And Sandeep, I'll start with you. Whatever you all decide, where is the parliamentary debate even on this?
No, there isn't, unfortunately. Actually, on most of these things, most of us tend to remain silent. That's the unfortunate part. And even for somebody like me, I think I heard the word marital rape perhaps 4 or 5 years ago.
But did you think that rape happens in marriages? No, or you didn't? It doesn't matter what you call it. Did you think that sexual abuse can take place
within
a marriage?
But when I heard this word, it struck me. But I'll tell you, there was another background to it. At 10 years as a member of parliament, actually, I've seen evidences of both what the lady there and the gentleman here are saying, and people coming from the other side. And I can tell you, when people approach us on either side of the Dowry Act, it's very difficult for me as a member of parliament to decide who's wrong.
But and when we tomorrow, interact with the police, would you do away with the Dowry Act because there have been men who have been victims? That's my point.
No,
okay, Aman, you said that let's our family values. Family values and Roma, you know, I'm a bit disturbed by what I'm hearing, that the first time you can't call it rape. It has to be a repeated pattern. Would that apply to domestic violence as well?
No, Balka, there is no running away from the fact that marital rape is a serious issue and law criminalizes it. The only issue is how do we address it? What kind of, you know, remedy and, you know, punishment that we should be having? So, and that is the, you know, that is the structure within which the parliament or the political parties have to debate and discuss. And as I said, government is willing to move ahead because these are sociological issues. They have wide ramifications. Not only, you know, this is not a merely a legal technical issue, because this is going to have wide ramifications.
I agree it's not a legal issue.
So therefore, I am saying, as far as our party is also concerned, we are willing to move ahead with the consensus if there is a larger consensus within the society or within the political society.
Is a very problematic thing, because you would say the same thing
I'm talking about a marriage that happened recently, and for 5 months, 6 months, the woman does not allow the man to touch her. Would you call that rape? What do you expect a man to do who thinks that marriage is whatever we think, all of us think, there is a grant to sex, and then a woman does not allow him to touch her for six months for whatever reasons, and then if he tries to have sex, leave her if it's a sexually unsatisfying relationship, there is violence on man, all that we have in Indian law for a man is to take divorce on the grounds of cruelty, but we have several laws that define each and every precise
kind of offense. If a man is not getting sex in his relationship, as you just said, he can leave that marriage. He doesn't have to assault a woman and force her to have sex.
So if the woman is not providing what perhaps the man wants, it is not a crime, he should divorce, but on the other hand he is a criminal, he cannot rape her. But if you have sexual violence, you can move under the sexual violence act and he can separate from that marriage.
Deepika, you made your point, let him respond.
You can separate from that marriage.
No,
even the woman can emotionally rape the man. Is that allowed then? Because she's probably emotionally raping the man.
We have all the laws that do not, that consider mental and physical violence.
No. I don't think you're understanding.
You're all speaking together. I will request you all to not speak together. Sanjay, quick response.
That perspective is part of the problem. It proceeds from the point of view that men have a right to sex. And I have to say, I fear for the state of psychology.
But even the woman is doing that.
You are proceeding from the perspective.
Women also have right to sex. Listen, guys, those of you who are against criminalizing marital rape, you're not going to make your argument more compelling by shouting down everybody else. So please just hold it.
Can I please interrupt?
No, 1 minute. I'm going to take questions here and please do not shout.
Actually, a relative of mine, the dowry law was fiercely misused. Most of the relatives in jail, and you know, it was 2.5 years of grave mental torture.
But do you believe that's reason for the law?
That man who was, you know, we won the case in the end, but that last night I was just texting him and I asked, should the marital rape be criminalized? He said it should, and so did the family members.
It is not an issue of legal reform, but it is also an issue of social reform, because even if we see, even if we make laws for dowry, we see that 70% of India lives in rural areas and the dowry is embedded there.
Let's hear from somebody else here who has also experienced sexual violence in her marriage. आपसे पूछूंगी, आपकी पहली जो शादी हुई, मुझे जो समझ में आया है, आप बच्ची थी, and यू गॉट प्रेग्नेंट इन दैट, वो मैरिज जल्दी खत्म हो गया
जी.
तो दूसरी शादी जब हुई आपको लगा कि नई उम्मीद थी, इस बारी कुछ अलग होगा, कुछ फर्क होगा
जी.
क्या हुआ?
क्योंकि मुझे सपोर्ट की जरूरत थी और मेरे पास एक बच्चा था और एडुकेशन ना होने के कारण मुझे लगता था कि मुझे सपोर्ट चाहिए, जिसलिए मैंने दूसरा शादी किया. लेकिन जब मैं ससुराल गई तो दूसरे ही तीसरे दिन से जो चीज़ें मेरे सामने आई वो मैंने सोचा नहीं था कि ये भी मेरी लाइफ में ऐसी चीज़ें भी होंगी. मतलब इस तरह का टॉर्चर, खाना, कपड़ा पहनना, सेक्स, हर चीज़ के लिए टॉर्चर. मैं अपनी मर्जी, कुछ मेरा मेंटल बैलेंस ही एकदम ख़त्म हो गया था कि मैं कुछ फील भी करती हूँ, महसूस भी कर सकती हूँ. हाँ नहीं की तो बात वो तो एकदम मैं भूल ही गई थी कि मैं किसी चीज पे ऑब्जेक्शन कर सकती हूँ.
सेक्स को लेके हिंसा हुई थी क्या?
जी, जैसे बहुत ठंड में बाहर निकाल देना बिना कपड़ों के, या प्राइवेट पार्ट पे चिली पाउडर डाल देना, सिगरेट से जलाना, या हाथ पैर को बांध देना, ऐसी बहुत सारी घटनाएं मेरे साथ, मतलब सॉरी हुई, जिस वजह से मेरा मेंटल बैलेंस काम नहीं किया. बस मुझे ये लगता था कि मुझे यहाँ से जाना है और मैं अपनी मम्मी की मदद से मैं वहाँ से निकली. और वो चाहते भी शायद ऐसा थे क्योंकि मैं उनकी रिक्वायरमेंट पूरी नहीं कर पा रही थी जैसा वो चाह रहे थे. तो जब मैं वहाँ से आई तो सडनली उन्होंने दूसरा शादी किया. अब मुझे नहीं मालूम कि वो औरत कैसे रह रही है उनके साथ, ये मुझे नहीं पता. लेकिन मैं पूरी तरह डिप्रेशन में रही.
आपको लगता है कानून होना चाहिए जो कि रेप को?
बिल्कुल होना चाहिए. हर औरत को एक अधिकार होना चाहिए, एक रिस्पेक्ट होना चाहिए, उसको हाँ नहीं बोलने की आज़ादी होनी चाहिए कि ये चीज़ें मुझे नहीं पसंद, मैं नहीं करना चाहती, या मुझे ये पसंद है, ये मैं करना चाहती हूँ. मैं ऐसी बैकवर्ड जगह से आई हूँ जहाँ मेरे जैसे बहुत से लोग.
इलाहाबाद से?
मैं इलाहाबाद से हूँ, लेकिन हमारा शादी बांधा हुआ था.
आई जस्ट वांट बिफोर आई स्लिप इनटू अ ब्रेक, आप लोग बहुत बहादुरी दिखाते हैं, मुझे लगता है शायद हम में से बहुत लोग नहीं दिखा पाए. क्विक रिस्पॉन्स फ्रॉम यू टू रोमा'स पॉइंट दैट देयर इज अ लार्जर कॉम्प्लेक्स सेक्सुअलिटी एट प्ले, दैट वुमेन इंटर मैरिजेस विदाउट फुली बीइंग कॉग्निसेंट ऑफ सेक्सुअलिटी, दैट यू कांट इमीडिएटली लेबल इट an absence of consent.
I'm quite horrified to hear some of these understandings of the family as being, see, apparently premised on lack of consent. Well, this is the point, right? This appreciation of sexuality of one segment of this country, women, as being premised on, you know, we don't know what we want, and so therefore we might be sketchy when it comes to making a claim, is a bit absurd.
Taking a quick break. Everybody's talking about a consensus. Everybody's talking about fairness for men as well. Does that mean we should shy away from a law? Or what would be the fairest law or the fairest approach to this? Final comments coming up in a minute. Welcome back, you're watching We The People. We're debating whether it is time for India to criminalize marital rape. Before we get final comments from a panel, a couple of audience comments.
I don't understand how you can justify saving an institution that is marriage at the cost of a basic human right. I'm a part of the upcoming generation and I find this ridiculous. I understand, as ma'am had said, that there's a potential for every law to be misused, but at least there's a law for me to fall back on.
Can I get Shailaja to come in on that?
I completely agree with her. I'm for never saying that I'm against this. I'm for the only trying to say, please see everything contextually. One little story will tell you the whole thing. Dance bars in Mumbai were banned. Why? Because there was a public demand. All right. They went and banned it. The Supreme Court struck it down rightly.
Yes.
So what do you think has happened? They have had to have a law which permits it, but not a single case of dance bar has been permitted since. When society is not ready for it, you have to find ways of going back to the root of why this patriarchy
then
is.
Then we shouldn't decriminalize homosexuality either, because somebody will say society is not ready for it.
No, I'm only saying there's something bigger that you should be
debating
here.
Okay, your comment?
There is a concept in Indian law of the restitution of conjugal rights.
That itself comes from the fact that you got to give precedence to the concept of kiss and make up also.
Now, one second. If somebody beat you and forced you to have sex, would you kiss and make up with them?
Well, you have to get...
The day a man gets beaten and forced into sex is the day I will accept what you're saying.
No, I am afraid you're putting it too bad on me. But my point is, this is the manner in which the things of makeup is there. We don't want to destroy family for the sake of...
Roma, when do you encourage reconciliation and when do you encourage... Okay, this is violence.
You said... Well, I'm completely against any physical violence.
Okay.
That, you're not going to reconcile after physical violence, for sure. But there are... relationships where arguments begin right from the beginning, there's hardly any companionship, and I agree with the gentleman when he says that there is a kiss and a makeup, you fight, you argue, all right? So you need to go in for couple counseling to understand, and
Fatima, it gets into
the sexuality area.
I don't understand it at all. Violence is violence.
Well, I'm not talking about violence. I'm talking about arguments. I'm talking of companionship. I'm talking
that
about
I
all
understand,
those areas.
But if you go through violence,
women
after
are
that talking
okay,
is
women
not
are
point
very good at actually all. Emotionally, humiliating the man. I get to see cases, and every day I'm seeing these cases.
You will get your last comment, but Fatima, your last comment first.
Marital rape, I feel, has to be criminalized because as a rape, I'll call them a survivor, not a victim. A rape survivor gets a lot of benefit under the law. And if marital rape is not recognized, person who has suffered it will not
have
go
no
those
recourse.
Benefits
okay.
as well.
I, as a young girl, would never want to marry if I know that I can just be raped and there's nothing going to be happening about it.
Yeah.
So you're just smashing the entire institute of marriage.
That actually you're smashing it more by suggesting that
abuse
is... Okay, Deepika, last thoughts.
Right now, the recourse for any woman who has violence and sex can include sections 498A, Domestic
but
Violence Act, Unnatural
rape, right?
Sex, 377, 509, Criminal Intimidation, and you can have the man jailed for a crime he committed for as long as you want. If you want to give it a different rape, and if you want to bring in a law after the visible abuse of so many women-centric laws, well, your choice.
Happy marriages begin when we marry the ones we love, but then they blossom only when we love the ones we marry. So please don't consider women as a property whom you can treat as a property of sexual violence.
Well said, and it's nice to hear this from young men. Kamlesh, last thoughts?
See, the needs of rape survivors, whether it be a married woman or just a girl, would remain the same. So there's immediate need. If not criminalization at this stage, maybe we after a discussion, but there's immediate need.
For at least recognizing that it happens.
Yes.
Whenever social change happens, we say this is the end of civilization as we know it. Women's right to property in that civilization, know it. Women going to university is the end of civilization, know it. Civilization does not end, it just simply changes.
Yeah.
So we need people like politicians to not be so equivocal about this.
Yes.
And call a rape, rape.
As far as marital rape is concerned, surely it constitutes a criminal offence. Even under the present structure of IPC, therefore we should be mindful of that. And the only thing that we have to debate and discuss about is that what other remedy or punishment could be provided, and how this law should evolve.
Sandeep, what is the point of law commission reports if no government pays attention to them?
That is something I can't reply to, because it's very funny. And while Amanji always says that political consensus, I think half the time it's the government that makes laws. We only push our buttons to accept it or not. All I would say is that, I would give a lot of respect to the opinion on the other side. I would say there are elements in various laws that are being misconstrued. I think you also petition and in a spirited way change those laws in the manner best possible. But I think what I and my committee failed 2 years ago to do, I think time has come to change that.
Menaka.
No change in this country would have happened if we had said, let's see if people want it. I'm thinking caste, untouchability. If we had actually gone around polling this country, you wouldn't have had land reform. You wouldn't have had so much.
Exactly.
Right? So this idea of India, which I assume women are a part of, cannot be premised on what people think. We are not a cricket match.
And I'm giving the last word here. I know Manoj thinks otherwise, Deepika thinks otherwise. Many voices here, by the way, it was not one-sided at all. I think it gave us a glimpse into why it's so difficult for Parliament to create consensus. For you who has suffered in such grievous terms, what would you say to the lawmakers and the judiciary today?
Of course, it's just not the mental, physical trauma. There's an immense mental trauma which I've gone through. Post that also, I had to leave my job.
So you feel there should be a law?
Of course, there should be a law so that I being a woman, has a fundamental right to say yes or no to whatever I like or dislike.
Well, I think that's what it comes down to, the right to say no, the freedom to say yes. Surely, with all of the possible misuses that would apply to any other law as well, and we can debate about what the fairest legal framework would be. But how can we not recognize that sexual violence can also be a reality in marriage, in relationships? We do hope Parliament will not this time wait for the judiciary to blink first, and maybe somebody will take the initiative. Let's at least hear our lawmakers debating this. That's the very least we can ask for. Thank you very much. This debate will continue for a while, but we hope we've sparked some questions at least.